This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Sarah Gardner has been doing a series for us the past couple of weeks built around this idea. What happens when the jobs go away? Not like completely, but when there simply aren't enough jobs for all the people we've got, automation and all of that. One possible solution is something called universal basic income. Everybody getting a no strings attached check from the government every month. It's being tried everywhere from Silicon Valley to Finland. But as Sarah reports today, basic income got a pretty good tryout more than 40 years ago in a little town on the Canadian prairie.
In Dauphin, Manitoba, Irene Whitwell's students keep the town's Ukrainian heritage alive at a bilingual elementary school.
Dobry den.
Dobry den.
Okay, who knows some other words in Ukrainian?
Дякую.
Дякую means thank you.
Just up the street, an onion-domed Ukrainian Orthodox church catches the eye in this otherwise ordinary town of 8,500, where the nearest big city, Winnipeg, is over 3 hours away. In the 1970s, liberal leaders in Manitoba and the national government chose Dauphin for an experiment to see how a basic income would affect people's behavior. The town's tight-knit Ukrainian community was partly why. Researchers figured not many of them would move over the course of the five-year pilot. Whitwell was in grade school when the MINCOM experiment started. MINCOM stood for minimum income.
I think it was kind of negative in our household because we weren't getting it. Whenever people get handouts, some people really deserve it. And then some people, in my family, we thought of like that they could have made a go of their farm or whatever it was. And they just needed more effort, I guess. That's what I grew up thinking.
The MINCOM researchers were particularly interested to see if a basic income might help the working poor and unemployed. The program guaranteed a family's annual income would never fall below a basic amount. For a family of four, that was about $16,000 in today's Canadian dollars. And if they did earn some money, the MINCOM check kept coming, just at a reduced rate. So working was still rewarded. About a third of the folks in Dauphin qualified for the extra cash, but not all of them wanted it, including Whitwell's aunt.
You know, people also used to talk to her on the side, say, you know, you should get it. You could get it, you know. But I know my aunt was proud, eh?
At a downtown diner, Stephen Chakota sips a hot cup of coffee. He's 28, a local, and says he hadn't heard of MINCOM until he saw a post on Facebook 2 or 3 years ago. Unconditional free money in his hometown.
My initial thought was maybe this is some kind of fake advertisement or something, right? But then, you know, you kind of look into it a bit more and it actually happened.
So what did happen? Well, first, a new conservative government that came into power declined to analyze the experiment's results. 1,800 boxes of data sat in a warehouse for decades until an economist at the University of Manitoba, Evelyn Forget, started digging into it. Here's what she and others have found since. The vast majority of MINCOM participants kept working. Married women did work less, but mostly to take longer maternity leaves. And families kept their teenage boys in school longer. They weren't as desperate for another breadwinner. All in all, Forget figures, not a bad deal.
The idea is that if you give people a little bit of money and you give people a little bit of trust, you know, people will find a way to live a reasonable life.
Forget says MINCOM also appears to have boosted well-being. Hospitalizations fell significantly, especially for mental health issues. That extra money may have relieved some of the stress of getting by. Eric Richardson remembers his parents bought a table and chairs with the subsidy. He still has the table, along with his teeth, which had never seen a dentist until MINCOM came along.
So this is a kid who's like, you know, 10 or 11 years old, first trip to the dentist. Well, I had about 10 cavities, eh? So the dentist at the time, Mr. Hestack, he'd fill your teeth with no freezing, eh? So you know, you'll remember stuff like that. So,
87-year-old Betty Wallace took part in MINCOM too.
Okay, so let's just check your range here, Betty.
We found Wallace in the hospital, recovering from hip surgery.
Good. And this leg is fine then? You haven't had any troubles with
that? Never had a problem with it.
Wallace and her husband were raising sheep and training saddle horses in the mid-70s. They earned the equivalent of about $24,000 in today's Canadian dollars. She says they didn't feel poor. They had a vegetable garden, plenty of wood for the cook stove, and neighbors who shared hand-me-downs. But MINCOM, she says, helped them expand their business.
The best thing we did was bought a truck.
a used one-ton GMC pickup, more reliable than two others they feared couldn't handle another Manitoba winter.
We could put four horses in it. We could haul hay. We could do everything imaginable with the thing. And it pulled trailer like a charm.
Like Richardson's table, Wallace still has the truck. Irene Whitwell, the teacher at the Ukrainian bilingual school, says renewed debate about a basic income has made her rethink the 1970s experiment here.
When I think about it, reflect on it now as an adult, I think it might be a good program to encourage people that, say, are on social assistance. You know, when you're home all the time and you're not working, I think it must be depressing.
But a universal basic income where everyone gets it, including her, Whitwell says she'd first want to know the cost and how it would affect other Canadian benefits, including one she really likes, universal health care. In Dauphin, Manitoba, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.